All right, welcome to Comic Playground. We are in the midst of an off-camera, off-microphone conversation.
Off-color.
I think it was on the mic.
You haven't been introduced yet.
I don't exist?
No. Well, not exactly. You're not talking into the mic yet, so wait until you're...
Do I have to go down on it?
Like not yet. You've got to... We're not a filthy show like you want to be. All right, look at Donnie on an island. We're going to get to him in a second. We are joined this week. We're supposed to have Ken remotely. We had him remotely all day as we were testing the equipment. And then as soon as the show started, Adonis's plot came to reality.
Oh, what?
And we... No, I don't know. I'm just trying to make a villain. Good versus evil. That's always a great story.
Compelling.
Who else?
Why? What do you mean, why?
You know why. You have a cold. So, Zach.
Mr. Freeze. He's got the cold.
He brings the cold.
He brings it.
He gets the cold.
Captain Cold.
Take two of these. Call me in the morning.
Zach Coleman, always ready with a quip.
But not this time.
Not this time. Tremendous timing. I don't even know. I'm trying to get moving. You guys have thrown me every piece of equipment that I worked all day on making it all get together. This is just stalling because I couldn't think of Corbin's name.
Oh.
Corbin Ford, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
I'm
really impressing everybody.
Got a comic, you know?
Oh.
All right.
What did you bring?
Actually, got it as a gift from my friend here. No. Okay, it's Batman Nightfall. It was the run, it was called The Crusade, but it was basically the first run or the first early adventures of Jean-Paul Valley as Batman after Bruce Wayne broke his back. Uh-huh. And so, like, over the course of the storyline, becomes more and more unhinged and, you know, just obsessed with being the best Batman in full 90s fashion with gauntlets and sharp, pointy edges and everything. But this is one of the early ones where they try to make, like, a villain to match him and to get the readers involved. And it didn't really go too well, but I enjoyed the story. So I'm excited to have the book.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Adonis Blake.
Hi. I'm cold. I mean, I have a cold. I'm sorry. Can we do that over?
I don't know. And before we get to our colleague to be, we will go. We had a big discussion about.
Because we're not friends. We're colleagues here.
It was a big discussion. You're sort of a big deal.
I'm method.
Sort of a big deal. Donnie, who's awkwardly staring. His beanbag is being repaired.
Is there any other way for him to stare, though?
I guess I could just look this way.
No, just look right. Look into the camera. The camera's the best. You keep looking at us. I tried to put the camera off. That's not the camera. That's a ladder.
It's not that camera pointed at me?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You're doing great right now. Donnie, you had jury duty right after our last episode.
I did, and with 59 other people, I was chosen as one of the jurors. So I was a little miffed at first, but then over the weekend, I was thinking, you know, this really sounds like an interesting case, like Jodi Arias interesting. And if for you guys who don't know Jodi Arias, she was a lady that thought her husband, or I'm sorry, boyfriend at the time, was a T-2000, and so she had to decide to stab him 17 times and shoot him 5 times, something like that happened here in Arizona, but... Hmm. This case, I can't talk about it, but it's pretty damn interesting.
What?
What do you mean you can't talk about it?
It's not over
Ryan,
yet.
Ryan, you haven't been introduced yet.
It's not over yet.
There's more to this. You wondered why he's at his own spot.
Call?
He's still working the case.
So this case is going to go for 8 days. 2 days this week, 2 days next week, and 4 days the following.
So you're allowed to? I thought you weren't even allowed to leave when you had jury duty.
You know, I thought that
that's only
from
like
watching
OJ Simpson, like high profile.
Well,
cases.
I was thinking that too from the Pauly Shore movie, but
you weren't sequestered.
No, thank God. And I couldn't be without internet; I'd go crazy.
Yeah, you think it takes the internet for that to happen? Oh my! All right. So with that all done, our newest member who's going to be joining us now.
Maybe.
Who's had second thoughts because
rules.
Reconsidering.
Brian Augustin, who we had on the podcast months ago when we were at the convention I refuse to say the name of and give any more. Everybody else is going to go back, so they get mad when I do that. But was part of our panel and was we had a great banter going back and forth Billy Tucci said it was the greatest banter he'd ever seen in his entire life. He didn't say that, but I pretend. Are you picking at the microphone?
This is how you get
mine. Mine had hairs on it, just in case you're wondering. I don't know what you're doing.
I shouldn't have let the cat out in here.
There's a cat.
Brian Augustine. Huh? Yeah. So let's dive in a little bit about you, because you are going to be our industry insider. You're a person who's been a part of the comic world for many years.
Yes, too long.
Hard since before Corbin was born, right?
I am. BC. I know. I'm very youthful looking. But
so tell us a little bit about, like, even your start when you just give us a broad. We'll get more into this as we get going through time, over time. But
whatever it takes.
I'm breaking space time continuum.
Thank you.
But tell us a little bit how you got started in the comic book industry.
Sure. Grew up in Chicago, was a comic fan from 1964, which is a year located on the calendar that's probably been lost by now. But somewhere in the 80s, I started working for small publishers in Chicago, which led to a call to New York and DC Comics. And I was there for 10 years being an editor and writer. And now it's 35 years in the business.
And in that DC tenure, you worked on – you were an editor of The Flash?
The Flash, Justice League, all the Justice League titles, Wonder Woman, a bunch of stuff, all pretty, you know, well-known stuff.
Things people might have heard of.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny. I did a Bugs Bunny.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Bugs Bunny, Justice
League. My favorite
League.
Superhero.
Justice
no,
League.
No, Bugs. They crossed them over now, but I did not. It was just a miniseries based on, well, Bugs Bunny. And Warner owns DC and Warner Brothers, and they also own the, what the heck are that, Looney Tunes. So we did that. I did a similar miniseries with Plastic Man. We were going for comedy. I don't know how close we got. But I've gotten to work on a lot of dream projects.
Yeah. And one of the most well-known projects is Gotham by Gaslight.
I wrote that.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I think you should know. I mean, you're faking this. I know comics. But
no, I don't pretend. I'm here to learn.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, I wrote that.
Yeah.
Good. Are we good?
Remember that.
Yeah, okay,
We'll have a quiz. We'll have a one-question quiz.
What did I say that set you off? That I said you worked on. Is that what I said?
Yeah. No, you didn't do anything.
Creative.
I'm already off.
You can't be off as Donnie. Look at him. he's posing for a third-grade picture right now.
Glamour shots over there.
There's a guy with youthful something.
All right, so yes, currently working on Archie.
I work for Archie right this moment.
Are you allowed to say that today?
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
I can say that.
Oh. I don't know if they wanted you to look.
No,
like
they've
Archie,
announced the projects.
Like Jughead, Archie's Veronica, Afterlife?
Not the traditional
all
stuff.
All that stuff?
We've been doing...
Archie vs. Predator or something?
What?
Keep it to yourself.
Oh.
No, I'm not working on that. I've been doing what they're calling New Beginnings. Huh. Which is Archie and his gang placed in realistic settings. So like the first
like Riverdale?
One.
Yes.
The TV show?
No.
Oh.
I'm about to explain it, but if you want to go ahead.
I figured interrupting would be better.
Yeah. It's the first one we did was Riverdale and the Archie gang during World War II. Archie was launched as a character in 1941, in December of 1941, which is when Pearl Harbor happened, which got us into the – never mind.
December 7th, the day which will live in infamy.
And still it does.
Yeah,
so
because of Archie.
Prediction that worked out. No, the company came up with the idea. They said Archie was launched in 1941 in December. And, of course, it was just escapist entertainment, no acknowledgement of the world. Mm-hmm. So they said, let's see what it would be like to put those characters into realistic settings with the war looming that kind of stuff. Treat them as they were in character, but filter that through more realistic responses and reactions. So there was still some fun, but Archie went to war. Huh. And the town fought about who was right. You know, should we have stayed out? Should we have been in?
Interesting.
So it was a historical thing. And now I'm working on the follow-up, which is Archie 1955, which is Archie at the birth of rock and roll, which is going to be a little less.
A little somber. Lighthearted?
A little more lighthearted. But we're, you know, we're using the whole Buddy Holly, Elvis kind of thing.
That's cool.
These are people who recorded in the 1950s.
So there's going to be a plane crash then?
Maybe.
All right.
I'm still lucky. Working on it.
Ooh,
that's okay. A good idea. Maybe we should do it like the second issue, and then all the other issues afterwards will be like, whatever happened to that guy?
The day the Archie died.
He's already died. Before we got there, they killed him off.
I'm just glad you're getting the Augustine glare for a while and not me.
I made the mistake of sitting across the table from him. So it's
you guys are glaring
so
into each other's eyes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
Not working.
What this is now. Hey, there's Ken just popped in somehow.
Hey.
All right. We're rolling with Brian Augustine just gave us his life story. And
we're at 1955.
We're at 1955.
Wait, turn off the laptop.
November 5th, 1955.
Is that a Back to the Future
that's
reference?
That's the day time travel became possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
1.21 gigawatts. All right. Corbin, there were some things that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, my favorite series coming up, Crisis on Infinite Earths. There was more news that broke this past week. So for one, Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from basically everything Batman-related, animated, otherwise for the last 20 years, is going to play a cameo as the future Bruce Wayne, live action in this upcoming series, which will be amazing because everyone, as far as I don't want to say fanboys, that's disparaging. But anyway, other big fans have always wanted to cast Kevin Conroy as the older Batman in whatever Batman Beyond movie would ever be made, which who knows when that would happen. But now to actually have him in as an older Bruce Wayne, which actually works in this universe, and just seeing how he's going to work with Ruby Rose Batwoman and the other universe at large is going to be amazing.
I can see your goose pimples from here.
has he ever done on-camera acting? Or just
not as
voice acting?
Bruce Wayne, Batman at all. It's all been
animated. But outside of Bruce Wayne, has he done?
Yeah, I mean, he was
non-voice acting.
I don't really know a lot about him before
IMDb
Batman.
Him.
But, yeah, exactly. I'm sure he has other roles. But they also announced the dates for this entire event. So it's going to run from December 8th through
to infinity,
through January.
It's a crisis.
Man, I
and beyond.
Up. I just had it. Anyway, from late December through January 8th. I had the numbers and I freaked out when I was talking about Kevin Conroy. So that was crazy. Also, for fans of Smallville, and this is sort of news here, but Michael Rosenbaum, I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that right, Lex Luthor, he's apparently supposed to have a cameo as Lex Luthor in this as well. Now, I say this with a heavy, heavy grain of salt because where I got my sources from was a site called We Got This Covered, which I had not really heard of before, but I mean, this is why I have some hope for it. They also were the first to break that Taskmaster would be the villain in the upcoming Black Widow movie and that Viola Davis would return in Suicide Squad 2, and both have been confirmed. So I'm leaning toward a positive track record here. That may not actually all be 100% news, but either way, I'm even more excited for it. And then last but not least, the writers of the Arrowverse, and this is totally confirmed, got Marv Wolfman along them to help rewrite this story that they're going to use for the CW, Arrowverse. So
the man who wrote Crisis,
the man who actually wrote, yes.
In 1985.
Yeah, so it's shaping up to be really, really huge. I'm not really sure how these other stories are going to tie in. Speaking of that, also,
Wait, before you go onto your tangent there, before I even ask the question, that's the beauty of Brian Augustine. He answered the question that was in my head: is who is that guy you're talking about?
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. Well, no, this is going to be
if
good.
You want his.
That's exactly what we needed, because I was about to ask, and you came in, and I just ruined it with asking questions.
He also created the new Teen Titans.
Oh.
Wrote Batman. He's written everything. He wrote Superman.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So what
Never
else?
Wrote Wolfman,
John
Never
Byrne.
Wolfman. Yeah.
You think?
They're gonna
or Man Wolf.
Like Man Bat?
If we wait, does it get better?
No, it really doesn't. Right. You get used to it, though.
It was confirmed that the last CW show that's actually not in the Arrowverse, the CW DC show on Black Lightning, is also going to tie in to this crossover. So the fact
I love Sinbad in that. I love Sinbad in that show.
I have only watched.
It's an SNL reference.
Oh, I was like.
I was like, that's not Sinbad.
I did a SNL years ago, did a superhero funeral.
Oh, I do. Mm-hmm. I actually remember the overall. He came in, he was the black superhero, right? Wasn't that what it was?
He was Black Lightning.
Yeah, Black Lightning.
And I'm not going to attempt to do the voice.
No, no, we want you to, so you come back.
No, you can do your cultural appropriation.
Zach is asking me for to have you do that.
When you do Morgan Fairchild, but...
Ah, yeah. Morgan. Who I've seen naked.
John Lovitz.
Thanks, Donnie.
He's still here.
Yeah.
He's still here.
So where were we going then?
Yeah, that was the news drop,
the data dump.
Yeah, exactly. Of all the things coming up, and like how excited I am about it. But what I wanted to see, or wanted us to talk about, was The Boys. First off, asking anyone seen it?
Yes.
Because I finished all of it last night. Like I literally watched like the last seven episodes, and I was talking to Ken about this late night. We were both like all the characters. It was really, really good.
It's popping. I really. Really, really enjoyed that show.
All right. I want you guys, before you get into how much you enjoyed it, I need a synopsis because I don't really know anything about it.
I did that on purpose and it worked. Okay. So, The Boys. Mind control. For once, it actually... No. Okay. it's a comic story written by Garth Ennis. And it's almost, I don't want to say a parody of sorts of the superhero genre, but more of half parody, I'd say half deconstruction of it, where superheroes are basically... like, for lack of a better word, corporate, like, products.
They're like for profit.
And they're costumed and they're classic riffs. There's a Superman-ish character, Wonder Woman.
And I actually like that. And that's another separate story. Well, but basically, that's where they are. And some of them.
Let me ask you this before
you go. Do we need to save this bus? Well, how much is it going to affect our bottom line? Like, think about that.
That's kind of the
premise.
In terms of the costumes and stuff like that, they're derivative type characters. So, like you said, with Wonder Woman, classic. It's a Wonder Woman-ish. Classics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're playing off of... What is that?
I was like, wondering, what is that?
Ken's
taping together or something.
Exactly where do you have that camera
placed? I thought he was
eating
or something.
What is that? Is that crotch cam? What is that?
Because whatever reason, the laptop was not working right. So
okay.
I finally found a way to get you guys through because technology is kind of failing me today. Kind of like a black suit Spider-Man only lasting 9 issues before getting put back in the red and blue.
Good call out.
All right, simile. So let's get back to the
The Boys, are you guys asking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Why don't you just chime
in? I mean, I've never binge watched a TV show so fast in my life. Mm-hmm. I think that I got through Boys within about, I started last night and I finished the last episode this morning so I could talk about it with you guys.
Did you feel like A-Train?
Pretty impressive for a show that was supposed to be like such a rated R comic. They toned it down a lot for the TV show, and it made a pretty good story. I was pretty impressed.
That doesn't make any sense to me, given that they're on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, they toned it down. I thought it was still...
There's a lot of gore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was still relatively gory, but you have to take into context just how much gory it was.
But I hear the language is toned down, too.
I would agree with the language part.
Yeah.
There was definitely some name drops. Like it didn't feel like they were like holding back, but it wasn't as much as... It was like someone reasonably dropping certain words instead of like the comic where you would see them like so many times you would just kind of get used to it.
Exactly.
But like I felt like it did a great job of...
The comic was ditched by DC because of how over-the-top vulgar it was towards the idea of the Justice League being a bunch of more or less the belligerent debaucheries. And... Dynamite picked it up after issue number 6 and started publishing the rest of the series. And it went 72 issues by the time it was done. So Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson had the long haul idea. And it just it was pretty hardcore. I said, too, reading the comic, I had to stop after about 7 to 7 issues because it was to the point where I was going like, wow, dude, how much more in-your-face shock value are they going to throw at us as comic readers?
It was very vulgar.
Good, but it was
and if you think of that as a comic book reader...
These are not words I hear much.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, you imagine trying to reach them.
In the '70s.
Yeah, imagine trying to reach the masses on Amazon Prime streaming if you're scaring off comic book readers like Ken back then. So it makes sense why they toned it down, because they wanted people to watch.
There are still some limits, though. Like, even though it's Amazon or something like that, I'm sure there are some standards that they try to maintain and not go. They'll go further than anything else,
I guess. To avoid alienating viewers more than anything else.
And that was it, too. I mean, by toning it down, it got me super interested in watching the series. Because as I said, too, for a comic book that I was kind of having to put down, the TV series was very enjoyable to watch, which is very unusual for someone that really is a big-time comic book fan and couldn't finish reading a series for how hardcore they're making it for readers.
That was
a little bit like Crossed. I mean, imagine Crossed being turned into a TV series. That's kind of what they did with Boys. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Crossed. I mean, yes. Brian, are you familiar with the comic series Crossed by Garth Ennis?
No.
It's kind of like
I know Garth's work.
More or less what it was a virus infection that gave people cross scars on their face, and they completely lost all inhibitions of any type of morality. And Garth Ennis tends to push the envelope of how far can you take something before it almost to the point where it's almost like, okay, is this going to get censored or is this going to keep on going?
No, Garth is that's one of his strengths, actually.
It is. He's like, he'll push things further than any other writer I've ever seen.
I know for me, I watched the first episode, then I read the reviews on IMDb, on Twitter, like all these things, just to kind of get an idea of what the general consensus was. What did regular people think? What did comic book fans think? What did people think? And for the most part, everybody that was just introduced to this concept, to this world, was like, I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job. This was really fun, and I'm excited for the next season. I binge-watched it. I couldn't stop watching it. And then you had comic book fans were like, it was pretty good. I mean, they took a lot of stuff out, but it was still pretty good. And then you had hardcore fans who were just like, they completely took away they took away so much from the comic that people are not getting the actual story. And my mind is, I'm just like, it's a different medium. You gotta understand your demographic. I mean, at the end of the day, they want to show people this story, but then they gotta realize that it's not just the people that would buy the book. It's everybody who's sitting down watching TV. Oh, I see that. Oh, I heard that was good. Let me click on this to watch.
But as I watched it, I just kept thinking, like, you know, this is probably how superheroes would be in the real world.
Oh, yeah.
Because it almost made all these other superhero movies look so unrealistic, because they're made out to
be perfect. That's what made the superhero movies seem unrealistic.
Yes, because you're like, all right, if you are an all-powerful being like Superman, are you really, I mean, are you just going to spend your whole life saving people, or are you going to have a little bit of fun on the side with it?
I mean, there was one scene, and I can't really spoil it, but like two of the heroes from the Seven, which is the Justice League kind of knockoff thing.
The corporate ones.
We're trying to save a plane that was going down. And so the Wonder Woman character is talking to the Superman character about how to do this. And realistically, he was like, listen, like, what? You want me to go underneath and like push it off? What? We're in the air. Like he was breaking it down in a way that's like, oh, I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, well, just take them and like take each one and take them to the ground. He's like, what? Do that 123 times? Like the way he was doing it, it was like, wow, well, that's what I read in comic books. And I just accept as like as standard comic book fact. So it was weird to kind of see that interesting deconstruction.
Yeah.
But a little bit of pushback to what you're saying, Adonis, because I do like what you meant as far as it being a medium and a story and just trying to get the masses to accept that and maybe not to just go to a certain niche. But that was my biggest gripe against, even we talked about the Batman Hush adaptation a couple weeks ago, where they did that on movie and they not only took out a key character from the comic to better, I guess, appease the fans, but change the story just slightly. At what point is it, okay, we're changing the story to better appeal to everyone, or we're changing the story that was what it was? I mean, it's an original work that obviously reached a lot of people, not just diehard comic fans. And because we're putting in a movie or whatever, we're going to steal certain ideas or switch things up. At what point is it actually changing the essence of the story?
Like, change for the sake of change, as opposed to because you think it's going to progress the story better on the medium that it's on.
Yeah, and with that, I agree with the dinosaur, because in certain ways, the Boys, especially with the character development that they did and packed really in only 8 episodes, was a lot more than I read in the first 30 issues of the Boys, like actual character development beyond just the 3 main characters. So that was big, and I agree with that. But that was just a thought I had.
And I think that a lot of people, especially like hardcore comic fans, need to understand that and take that into consideration, because I feel they're way too biased before they even jump into this world. That
that's hardcore fans of anything.
That's
right.
That's very
Star Trek fans,
Trekkies,
Game of Thrones fans.
I'm not sure you can stop that from being.
Yeah, but at least open your mind to what you're about to embark on. Mm-hmm. Don't just automatically cut. I bet you they changed all this, and then now all of a sudden you're just extremely biased.
Like I am toward Joker. The Joker movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's going to fail.
My wife just hated the name, The Boys. Couldn't handle it. And she was like, I'm really enjoying this show, but I'm struggling with this name because there's women in it. And I was like, I don't know.
Why is it called The Boys?
I don't know. Why is it called The Boys, Corbin?
I mean, that was the name of the group. I mean, even though they had the woman in it, right? That was her name. The Butcher, Mother's Milk, Frenchie. That was just kind of like, I want to say code name, but that was kind of the name that they were kind of given.
Well, keep in mind that Ennis is Irish or Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And Du Bois would be, very much a UK or Ireland kind of summation of a group.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm like, I don't remember there being like any like code or anything behind it. That was just kind of what they were.
I'm guessing even.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just saying that's.
Not the mates.
Well, that would work, too.
Butcher used that a lot.
He's Irish. Wouldn't have the global appeal.
He's Irish. If it was set in London, yeah, the mates would work.
Yeah. Well, weren't they like a military group, like a specified military group as well? So that kind of like get the boys, you know.
And they're the – what do I want to say? They're the uncostumed, superpowered people who are opposing the excesses and – whatever of the corporate characters.
Although they're not superpowered, at least in the show.
In the show, they're not.
And you don't really get this backstory about what – you don't really learn too much about their backstory until – they sprinkle in a little bit throughout the series about where they came from, but otherwise they kind of all come together and you know that they have history with each other, but they don't really tell you too much
about
it.
So there's no superpowers in this?
The corporatized wrong. Superheroes, very superpowered.
No superpowers in the comic for the boys, right, Ken?
Some of them did have powers, but not all of them. Like Huey never had powers.
Although he did inject.
You kind of had the idea that Butcher may have had powers in the comic. But as I said, too, like I stopped reading about 7 issues in, and there was a lot revealed as it kept on going. That's what it's interesting, too. I'd like to go through and reread the whole series again and stick with it. Through seeing how close the material was in the TV show. Like, I like the House of Cards element they threw in there as the series went on, where they're trying to more or less militarize the superheroes, where it was just privatized superheroing for the TV series. I was wondering if they did that in the comic series, because that's very fascinating to see where this corporation was trying to more or less encourage the military to take on these superheroes to fight terrorism.
Hey, Ken, do you want me to go through it first and censor anything for you before you reread it?
Maybe just read it to
him.
Yeah, I
want to make sure that you draw little clothes on everything that was the clothes in there.
Perfect.
No, I'm a big boy. I was just kind of saying, too, it's like some of the things, like if I see kids toss from airplanes and just how brutal things can get, sometimes I need to stop reading for a while and go back to it.
Gotcha.
No, I mean, that kind of stuff cracks me up. So.
Kids being tossed from airplanes?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, when you have great kids, it's kind of hard to see brutality happen to kids.
I got kids. I'll toss them from a plane.
You know what it is, though?
Make sure it's a parachute.
After 3
first.
Times that a kid is thrown out of a plane, it's not a... It's funny anymore. Yeah.
It's a lemon at that point, and you get a new one for free.
So let me ask you this. As you guys tell me about this, there are a couple things that so what about – is this like in a genre that you'd say like – and I only remember certain much from the movie, like Watchmen. Is it something kind of like that or not at all?
I think Watchmen is much – more deeply layered.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't even mean that as a compliment. I mean, I like the series. Mm-hmm. But Alan Moore really built his universe.
In Watchmen?
I'm not saying this doesn't have
This felt to me like Quentin Tarantino doing comic books.
That's content, but in terms of the intention of the book, I think it was, what'd you say, 77 issues all told or something like that?
72 issues of Boys before he ended it. Six years.
So, I don't know. They may have – I remember the first 10 or 12 issues, but there wasn't as much universe building. It was sort of set in comic book real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in a lot of the more critical aspects, you know, bemoaning the commercial nature of the heroes they had, you know, that this group sort of takes up the cause of getting rid of them or exposing them, whatever all. I'm not sure that it's in a genre other than a genre called Garth Ennis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
It's deep in a lot of ways.
Comedy, and it still was violent and dark, right? And it was story. Exactly, I'd agree with that.
And I think it is parody in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, It was a very moralistic look at the impact superheroes have on society when things go wrong, and who holds them accountable. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me the most intrigued about it. Is these superheroes were looked at as like star athletes and more or less endorsement contracts everywhere. But what happens when they have to cover up the loss of people that are more or less collateral damage of what happened when superhero battles take place, and how this V7 corporation tries to do whatever they can to keep the propaganda positive, not negative in any way towards these superheroes because they're monetized. I mean, they did a story where they told Baltimore that they would sell them a superhero for $300 million. And the mayor of Baltimore was kind of like, I can't pay more than $200 million. I mean, it's more or less like sports contracts gone wild. And then the superheroes are taking things in their own hands to try to help more or less the general managers of this company get what they want to make sure that they stay in the spotlight no matter what.
That's exactly.
So it's a dichotomy of like, once again, it's as close as real as I've seen story wise of what happens if superheroes show up in society and how would they be recepted?
Exactly. Like,
remember that time that the superheroes showed up, messed with the Olympics that year? Not good. Not good.
I think about that every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our lesson, and this is what they're playing off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, the superheroes that we have right now, like you said, Ken.
1992 Dream Team.
Athletes. These people just get tossed around and split, you know, just like, yeah, I'll get him, but only for this because his numbers last year weren't as good as you thought they were, blah, 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 blah. And they just applied that logic to heroes. And you think about, you know, they have, you know, a hierarchical how they're built up as well with the depth chart with the heroes as well. You know, you got A-plus heroes and B, C, D. And then
you're worried about being traded down.
Exactly.
In the lower leagues.
I like the idea that it's
sent to Ohio.
Like negotiating.
Yeah.
As they would for a team or mostly for a team.
Yeah.
I also love that The Tick is the other like comic book related series that's on Amazon Prime. Yeah. And they are just completely two flip sides of the same coin because they're both parodies on the superhero genre and they take it in completely different directions.
Yep.
But also trying to show you like from the ground level what kind of the impact of like the superhero life is on normal people.
Yeah.
Is The Tick still on season one? Have they come out with a second season?
They've had two seasons.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a third coming out.
Okay.
They're canceled.
Yeah.
Were they canceled? Oh, really?
I don't know what series.
They turned right from
what
that
season
to the
they're
boys.
In.
Yeah.
I can never tell with some of these what's going and what isn't in terms of
– there's so much to keep track of now.
Yeah. I mean, they renewed The Boys for season two before season one even came out. So I get what you mean on that. Like, it's weird.
Well, it's also with all the different networks like picking up each other's shows when they get canceled. There was a time where when a show got canceled – and Frank, you know this well.
Yeah.
It was just over.
I've lived it for good and bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You didn't have anything to follow up with?
I don't think I can top that.
You just want to get the shot in?
That was it. Right there.
Yeah, trust me, I know
then
about it.
He fizzled.
Yeah.
I got out of some TV shows early before they got canceled, so I couldn't be blamed for it. I'm not even lying about that.
Superhero.
I left things, yeah.
Oh, snap.
So you're negotiating with the corporation. Well, if you're working on a budget, we got arm fall off boy. There's not much you can do.
Arm fall off boy. All right, anything else?
Anybody know the reference?
No.
Lost.
Well, I'm surprised you
don't. It's from Lost?
No, I'm lost.
Oh, you're lost.
Legion Superheroes, 90s probably. They would often have those, tryout episodes or books.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy came over and said his name was Arm Falloff Boy. And Legion said, what's your power? And he goes, and just pulls his arm off and drops it on the floor. What's the use of that? He goes, well, I can use it as a club.
He got 100
next.
Issues.
What? Like Squirrel Girl.
What? Can you back like squirrel me up on girl. This, Ben? Do you remember this?
Well, my power is to talk to squirrels.
Yeah, Squirrel Girl?
Or, yeah.
I'm having a hard time hearing you guys still.
Oh. That's okay. You're not missing much.
Just about the guy pulling girl. His arm out or something.
Arm fall off boy.
This is a club?
It was a wannabe legionnaire from 20 years ago.
Oh, man.
I just find it funny, Ken, that you've moved the camera about 10 times. You don't believe in stationary remote. Like I lost my train of thought.
Like a computer's one thing. I put away all the tripod because I was using the computer. And the computer couldn't find me. So somehow Apple technology.
Your face does not match facial recognition.
Technology. Well, let me just say we can find you. You're the whole screen. You're just, you're leaning into it. I wish this was
But
more
you
of
found
a,
your good side.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's like that. Luckily, the Acme cream worked today.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
This whole show is confusing me.
I think I need to come back and join you guys again over there.
Yeah. What about – so another thing that's come to my mind in this, and I don't know if this was a comic book or not, Mystery Men, because I remember that.
Oh wait. That was Dark Horse.
Ben Stiller. With Janine Garofalo.
Yeah, well, Dane Cook was the Waffler.
Yeah.
A little bit back further for you
like
guys.
Like heroes that have pretty useless powers, is that the idea?
Yeah, that made me think. Arm Fall Off Boy made me think of Mystery Men.
The Shoveler.
Okay? Yeah. Right next to Brightman.
That was a pretty good parody.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't, I don't think it was, because it's in us, this is very cynical.
Mm, yeah.
The tone. It takes a dark view. I think you said that yourself.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of like an equivalent. You guys remember I think it was 2010 with Rainn Wilson, Super?
Super, yes. Yeah.
I kind of had vibes of that. Like it was funny and it was dark and it was weird, and I kind of walked away with like being in its own like genre. I think James Gunn directed that one. Yeah. And that was like the same way that I put, you're right, Garth Ennis and the boys, and that's why huge credit to the writing team for taking that feel and bring it over to the show.
Well, Wilson's because you walked character away like, is sad.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he doesn't know it.
No, and that made it even more sad. I guess you're right. Yeah. But it was so weird because it was also funny in spots, and then it was like the brutal violence that he would use in spots was like you're laughing, joking around, then boom, oh, that guy's gone. Like the way that he took you in that journey was really weird. But that's kind of where I put the boys in its own type of John Wirtz, a mix of multiple elements.
Did anybody read Supreme Power back in the early 2000s, I want to say? There was Marvel did something.
Yeah,
it was
J. Michael Straczynski, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
and
that
so
was pretty dark, too. I can compare that to the boys. It was more or less the Squadron Supreme reimagined.
Yep.
In the Marvel Max manner, and then they eventually toned it back down to Marvel Standard, Max. Too, but... Mm. It was more or less, I guess you could say, too.
So
very
Max
much
was
like
the
adult.
The boys,
I say, is a lot like
more
Supreme
mature.
Powers.
The view of him has changed again.
Right on the nose. Where they wanted more or less, that was the answer to authority for Marvel, if I remember correctly. Remember
floating.
The authority, Brian?
What's that?
The authority?
I'm sorry, were you talking? My apologies.
No, it's
the
just,
authority.
It's,
Brian.
Ken, it's just so hard because you changed your visual so many times. Just,
extreme close up.
Yeah, we'll turn away and we look back and you're just a different size.
I was counting nose hairs a little while ago.
I was trying to give you guys a little bit more of a little bit more enjoyable picture rather than just my face.
I like the background, I'll tell you that.
Disagree.
That background is
I like the fact that I like the fact that a comic playground. Fell during it.
Yes, that was great. I said too, this was put together pretty quickly tonight.
Yeah, before we started, it was all boxes, and he somehow got some sort of a backdrop, which, again, probably nobody's ever going to see, but maybe we'll put it on the...
Is that the place or the store?
That's the magic of television, right?
Are you at home or the store?
I'm at home right now.
It's his living room.
Goals.
He's not in his kid's room.
Yeah. Right.
Are you in your living room?
There's comics in every room in our house.
That makes sense.
Love it.
Oh, good.
As there should be.
There are comics in every room in our house, too. They're just stand-up comics.
Hey.
I'm trying to learn from the best still.
Can you get them down here?
Yeah, we're working on it.
Hi. So you have this, like, it looks like a display rack that goes on for about 18 feet behind you.
Yeah, pretty much all I did was put a comic in front of every box that was on a shelf and
Wait a second. You have shelves at your house filled with comic boxes?
Yeah, this is more or less my eBay room because I do internet sales, too, as well, to try to help market the store. And I like the fact that eBay allows me to reach out to people outside of Arizona. And
he's
going to
get paid for that.
Not only just the fact
in,
of
yeah.
selling comics locally, but
thanks, Ken.
Get your name out a little bit more nationally too, as well.
There. All right. Well,
are you going to get paid by eBay for that? For
yeah,
that
eBay's
plug,
endorsing me for this moment for the segment.
This episode sponsored by eBay.
Yeah,
we'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break to talk about something you can't see on an audio podcast.
Looking to sell stuff outside of Arizona? Call eBay.
Who would have thought?
You don't call them.
You don't call them.
E-B-A-Y.
They call you.
eBay.
All right. As we're getting in the back quarter of the show, anything else anybody really wanted to get into?
The Rock.
What about The Rock?
Everybody wants The Rock to be in the MCU, and he's talking about being in the MCU, and I feel like I want to know who he would be.
Got one.
He said he's officially done with WEE.
So
Namor.
What are you checking in from 1999 over there?
Perfect for The Rock.
Oh, okay.
What's perfect for The Rock? Hold on. What's perfect for The Rock?
Namor, the Submariner.
Oh, I can see that.
Is that because he's from an island?
I would say that helps.
He's been near water.
It helps, yeah.
I was actually thinking.
And I said too, it's
Warpath.
Like that if you want to match up against Jason Momoa, The Rock's the closest thing.
Mm. Oh, true, toughen him up a little bit.
My friend Jason
Bad
Momoa.
Boy image.
Yeah, your airplane buddy.
Oh, my buddy from the airplane.
No.
Does he ever DM
that.
You?
Brian, you don't know about this. I tried to take a picture of Jason Momoa on an airplane because his private plane apparently had broken down and he was on a commercial plane and with us peasants. And I tried to sneak a picture, not for internet or anything, just to show my daughter. And he caught me, and I have a picture of him grabbing for the phone, and then the flight attendant telling me that I'd have to erase that, and I lied to her and said I would. And then telling my daughter that I got this picture of Jason Momoa for you, and she's like, I don't care. I like Marvel.
Wow.
That's really just a picture for
restraining order
fingers.
For no reason.
It's reaching. Yeah, yeah, but if the plane went down over water, we would have been, you know, he just would summon a whale.
Maybe Donnie will be the juror on your stalker trial.
Juror.
23 times?
I think Namor makes a certain amount of sense. You said who?
I was saying
Warpath?
Warpath. That's what
Who's
I
that?
Think. Well, he's from X-Force. He's the big dude with the knives that's kind of brute force.
Big guy with a knife. That narrows it down.
I was thinking the Rhino.
Sounds like life in
no.
Rhino.
I mean,
rhino.
It's not appropriate, but it could be fun.
Yeah. Wait, why is it inappropriate?
Not inappropriate. It's not appropriate, I think, for him.
To play a villain?
Yeah.
No.
And to be covered in a
I just
costume.
Think it's too much costume.
It's too much of a B-lister, too. You need to be an A-list character,
exactly.
I would say, too.
I mean, depending on what...
He could make the Rhino an A-lister.
We're actually talking about this. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I was going to say, depending on what Marvel does a Deadpool, like Cable. I thought he'd be cool as Cable.
But
or...
it's too late. They already did Cable. As
I know.
My friend.
Just do another. Multiple Fantastic
another
Fours.
Another
Peaking Fantastic Four. The
oh,
thing.
That's right. He is your friend.
But then it's over costumed as well.
I saw a lot of people put that.
They could do some
thing.
CGI, though.
You don't want him to be Ben.
He's got
to. If the whole thing is with him being Ben Grimm and not the thing, then he could be it.
Exactly. That's a different story.
Over costumed again.
No. Well,
CGI.
Hidden.
Hmm?
Yeah. And that's he'd be hidden as the thing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Guess it's...
And that's why I chose Warpath, because then he would be. Because the X Force is basically the SWAT team of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Boys.
Yeah, pretty much. They go into... Just
bringing it back for you.
Full circle.
Could you bring it to the end for me?
I'm sorry.
Oh, we could end you.
I've been there for a little bit.
On that note.
This technological stuff has been killing me today. I've been in and out mentally. So.
Got to bring Brian back.
Brian's always coming back.
Isn't he on vacation, though?
Oh, Brian. Oh, RTI Brian.
Yeah.
We have RTI two Brians now. Brian
double Brian.
Have him change his name.
Yeah. Work on it.
Be okay if he went to Ryan. I'm being
we get that confused,
here.
Too. Don't.
I'm Ryan with a B.
Silent B.
I'm Ian. Oh, spelled like Ian.
We are done.
We are done.
This is it, huh?
Like wrapping it up.
Somebody named Ian would name themselves Ian.
If they were a chemist or something.
Or if they're from Ireland.
Ian McKellen.
Is that the way
you say Ian?
Own purpose.
Ian's whirling?
To own purpose.
You guys.
Does he?
Doesn't matter.
I made a bad joke. It's, yeah. It's okay.
BC.
No, you didn't make a bad joke.
Oh.
You talked over my bad joke.
That should have been the end line right there. That should have been. We've tried to end this show 4 or 5 times each time.
We need more rock.
Well, just to put a coda on that, that's a big word. I'm
trying it's not to, that big of a word.
It's a short word.
It's just an unused word.
It's an unusable. Yeah. Anyway, he's already playing a DC character.
Yes.
Yes.
And entering into a franchise.
He is?
Mm-hmm. He's playing...
Black Adam.
Shazam's nemesis.
That's right. Yeah.
And they're turning into an anti-hero.
Right, because
another
it's the
big
Rock.
Word.
Exactly.
So but there's no, I mean,
I'll tone it
we've
down.
Had characters cross over before.
No, they can.
What if The Rock just plays himself?
That's actually what he said, too.
And is that, is yeah. it? What if he plays
honest, you
himself?
You look at those movies, he's always playing himself.
But somebody gets, but he comes up against Paper, and Paper beats The Rock. That's the end of the show.
Game over.
Thank you, guys. You can reach us at Comic Playground on all social media.
Brian, are you
you social?
Are you social?
Do you use social media? Because I know you're not social.
I don't think I want to tell you now. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter.
Okay.
I twit.
Yeah, you do.
Good grammar.
Coda. Anybody good else work. Got something? At Frank Caliendo across all forms of social media.
It's that time.
Corbin? What? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Did you write anything down today?
No, I didn't.
Never.
I always forget that I got to do this Casey Kasem thing. Keep your sleet on the ground and keep reaching for the clouds.
You're only doing it for Corbin. You
just
don't have to keep doing it.
Can I get one bone thrown my way? That's all I ask on this show.
And at Drawn to Comics for Ken, who's sometimes...
Different again.
Oh, man. I got to get back there, you guys.
He's a different guy every time you show up.
When it worked, like, Maurer didn't have a problem at all last week. Maurer, because
I don't understand, dude. It's like, too, it's like that. We've been trying to work this out.
He's just so
loud. For about 2 days here, and I said, too, I don't know if I need a new laptop or what, but... Apple seems to be working
at least a little bit better
than Dell.
All right.
So, but as I said, too,
you're
buy
still
Apple.
Talking, aren't you?
All right. You can take the comics down from the boxes now.
Aren't you going to come over and read them with me?
That's his bathroom,
open invitation to our listeners.
Again, we could have ended the show 6 times.
We even did the Casey Keenum, okay?
Here's the thing. We don't know how to start the show.
It's not Casey Keenum.
It's Casey. I'm saying it's Casey.
I'm Case Keenum, and I'm a backup quarterback who just got paid a lot of money.
Are you taking requests now?
No.
Did you do Morgan Fairchild?
Fairchild.
Oh, my God. Where's your Rock impression?
It just turns into Barack Obama.
Do you know what the Rock is cooking?